This is Near FM
90.3.
And it's a pleasure to have you as always. And I hope you caught us last week. We had a great program. Lots of music. It was a bank holiday. And I seem to miss the bank holiday this week for some weird reason. But there you go. We're spoiled with too many of them, I believe. So last week we had, amongst other things, we had Chris Rowe giving a great story about his adventures with George Verver's team and that epic car trip across Europe back in the day with his, with all his stuff, with an engine in his backseat. Quite a story that was. So you can check it out, as with other stories, on the Listen Again section of the Near FM website. So anyway, that was last week. This week, what do we have? Plenty of stuff for you. A bit of an omnibus or a magazine program today. Hope you enjoy it. And if you're new to God Talk, what do we do here? We talk about God, our creator of the ends of the earth. God is a term that is kind of, for some people, it can mean loads of different things to loads of different people. Some people believe they are God themselves. God love them. And, we talk about the one who made the heavens and the earth, and the one who came to save mankind by sending his beloved son to die on a cross to pay for our sins. And, you know, he is the true God. You know, many are idols and many are distortions of the true God. But, you know, we base what we say on the Word of God, which is commonly known as the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. But more so, we trust in the Holy Spirit to bring it to life for you, the listener. So that's our prayer always for this program on God Talk, that these words wouldn't be dead religious words, but they'd be alive with the power of God. So anyway, where do we go from here? We go down to Kilkenny to our good friend Joseph. So Joseph, what have you got for us today?
Hello. Proverbs 18 verse 24 reads, "A man who has friends must show himself to be friendly, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." In the last few years, I started to notice what friendships were important. I called in on someone yesterday just to see how he was. Both of us had busy schedules, yet we still had time for each other, and the work that we paused, well, most of it got done anyway. He's a great guy, and although we haven't much in common, we do enjoy each other's company. These are the kinds of friendships that I value. In my years of walking with the Lord, I've learned things and I've moved on. I moved on from investing in people who are always too busy to answer my calls, too busy to return them, and I stopped investing in people who never pick up the phone to see how I'm doing. If we claim to be Christians and our lives are just too busy, we need to pull over and start taking a look at what's really important. I'm going to close with this final thought. People make time for whom they want to make time for. People text and reply to people they want to talk to. Never believe anyone who says they've just been too busy. If they wanted to be around you, they would.
Well, thanks, Joseph, as always, for that great word. You know, I love that. A man who has friends must show himself to be friendly. Friendship is a two-way street, you know. We often kind of, there's a temptation at times to think, yeah, people aren't very nice to me, people aren't contacting me. Well, are you contacting them? Are you extending grace towards them? And, you know, we're called to be friendly. And, you know, it's very true what Joseph alluded to there when he spoke about having time for people. We're all of busy lives this way, that way. But, you know, when a knock comes on the door and someone you haven't seen in a while, and it's a really good friend, you know, all the work of the day is kind of put aside because you just love to spend time with that person. And I was recently blessed with that when our good friends Tom and Christy were over from America. Haven't seen them in years, but to have them as there as friends, it was like that was the most important. Just spend time with them. And it's a challenge today because people live very isolated lives. You know, everything is smaller. I was looking at a statistic about the number of people who go through Dublin Airport. The majority are going through singly. Back in the day, it would have been families and groups and everything. But now it's kind of single people. And as well in housing, the majority of housing units are single person units. And so people live in the city and it's they people tend to be living very isolated lives. So sometimes there's a skill in friendship, and the challenge came during the COVID time when we were being told from above, not from God now, but from the authorities on this land, to stay apart, you know, keep away, don't shake hands, all these things. And it isolated people, and many people are still suffering from the mental the injury that came with that, and it's particularly hard on elderly people, of course. So, as I say, give people a smile, reach out and talk to them, and let the Lord do the rest, and develop good and normal relationships with people. So, thank you very much, Joseph, for that, as always. And so, what do I want to share with you today on God Talk? A very interesting scripture. Now, I mentioned last week, I think it was, about the Old Testament, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, how the New Testament is concealed in the Old. So when we take a scripture out of, for example, the book of Exodus, like I'm about to, we do see the cross of Jesus Christ reflected in this. So I'm going to read it straight off. It's the story is by Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And remember the story that they... I hate the word story because it suggests it's not true. It is true. It is history. It happened. And what happened was the people, children of Israel, were miraculously saved out of slavery in Egypt. And you can read all about that in the early chapters of the book of Exodus. Amazing stuff. But I'm here in chapter 15, starting verse 22. It says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." Now, you tell me the last time you went 3 days without water. I tell you, grumbling does happen if you're left without the drink. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which of course translates as bitterness. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. So we see God answered their prayer. He gave them, he sweetened the water that had been made bitter. And a long time ago, I used to write a little book, kind of Rhema words, R-H-E-M-A. Rhema is a spoken word of God. So God does speak things on a daily basis to you. And I was in the habit back in the day. This is 1991. I know most of you weren't born back then, but it was, I was, and I was born again too. And I could hear sometimes the word of the Lord. And I wrote this down about this particular scriptures. I said the waters were bitter. What was intended as a life source was producing death. So too, God's creation, mankind, has fallen and is bittered by sin. God's solution to the dilemma was to show Moses a tree, perhaps symbolic of the stump of Jesse or the tree of life, that is, Jesus Christ. Moses, representing mankind in this case, uprooted the living tree and threw it into the waters of death. And another scripture says that the wicked are like the tossing sea. So water itself can speak of wickedness and death, as well as life. And the tree was immersed in this death, the same way as Jesus took on our death. But as a tree can't stay sunk for long, so too a righteous man can't stay long in hell and death. And so when this tree sprung up, the waters were again made sweet and given life. The outcome of this was a statute with conditions on Israel's part to be obeyed. the conditions being to give earnest heed to God's voice, to do what is right in God's sight, to give ear to God's commandments, and to keep all God's statutes. And the promise is this: I, God, will put none of the diseases on you which I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. So when we think about the diseases that were put on the Egyptians, we see all the curses that were on them. Water was turned to blood. There was a curse of frogs. There was a curse of insects. There was death of livestock. There was boils. There was hail. There was locusts. And there was death of the firstborn. But there's a wonderful promise there of healing, that none of the diseases that were put on the Egyptians will be put on you if you follow the Lord. And I do believe the healing is in the atonement, that Jesus Christ came to save, to heal, and to deliver. Because in the New Testament, we see this word popping up called sozo, S-O-Z-O. And that's what it means. It doesn't just mean save. It doesn't just mean heal. It doesn't just mean to deliver from demonic powers. It means all of them together. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he made a complete salvation. You know, when God does something, it's well he does it. And even if our mind doesn't understand that, we sometimes say, God, why are you doing this? You know, at the end of the day, we can look back and we can see, God, you did that well, because you had the wisdom. You knew what was coming. You prepared us for this, whatever it is. So life is a great tapestry. Many of you may have heard this story before, but I'll say it again, that there was somebody who was watching a woman across the room weaving a tapestry. And all this person could see was the back of the artwork. And all she could see was coloury threads which had no rhyme, nor reason, nor pattern. And she thought, what on earth is going on? And it was only when the person making the tapestry turned it around, they could see a beautiful pattern and picture. And our lives are like that. We're often looking at the back of God's tapestry. We're thinking, this is chaotic. What's going on? That can't be true. No. And we're kind of in semi-despair about half the situations. But at the end of the day, God turns it around, this tapestry. And we see the beauty and the wisdom of God in all the things he's done. And I think that's a conviction that really helps us stay calm throughout this life. And I can't get over the number of books on calm there are out there. You know, I often, my dear wife likes to go shopping. Well, she is female, isn't she? Yes, she is. And so when I go with her, I'm a guy, well, because I'm an architect, I'm always looking at the interior fit out of the shop while she's looking at the produce that it might be in there. And so I'm always enjoying that bit of it. But sometimes I go to the books and I look and see what's there. And I'm overwhelmed nowadays by the amount of books about calm, because we are in a chaotic world where it is full of stress and overworked and over everything, you know, overhyped. So people are kind of hungry for a bit of calm in their life. Well, I'm going to just share a little scripture with you, because the Bible is where you're going to really get calm, you know, at the end of the day. John 14:1 says, this is the words of Jesus now. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So belief in God and a troubled heart are two mutually exclusive things. And Psalm 103 says this. It says, forget not all his benefits. So imagine this. Imagine if I took a job in a high-tech company in Dublin like Google. I'd get lots of benefits, like I'd get free food, I'd get gym, I'd get health insurance, I'd get perks, I'd get trips, I'd get gadgets maybe, holidays perhaps. But this would be nothing compared to the benefits of his kingdom. You know, all his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits of his kingdom. But surely an untroubled heart must rank the highest of them all. You know, the benefit of this is not just to make me happy, but to make me effective for kingdom ministry to others. And in a troubled and a tossed world, it's great to have people standing on this rock of Jesus Christ. People who are stable, who aren't blown around by every wind and stuff that goes on. And so if you want that little book of calm, as they call it, well, it's a great book. It's got 66 books put together in a library called the Bible. And within there is God's guidance on how to live your life. But most of all, it's that simple relationship with Jesus Christ that keeps us keeps our hearts at peace, because we know that the fundamentals of life are resolved and sorted by what he did at Calvary. We know that if we were to die in our sleep or get hit by a bus or something like that, you know, that the most important thing is already resolved, and that's nothing to be sniffed at. So I want to move over to the proverb of the day, and as I say, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and that means that for every day of the year there is an associated proverb. And in the first 10 chapter of Proverbs, they're not like couplets, short little things, but they're a little bit longer, but they're more powerful, or as powerful. So in chapter 8 it talks about the excellence of wisdom. Now let me start by saying this. In the world that we live in today, knowledge is not a problem. Well, actually it is a problem, but I'll explain myself in a minute. I can ask you a question, and all you need is a little device in your pocket, your phone or something, and you Google the answer and you tell me the answer. So I said, who won the FA Cup in the year 1932? Well, you can tell me in a matter of a minute. Not because you know it, but because you can find out. So there's no problem with knowledge. It's all there. Okay, of course it can be twisted and distorted. That's the caveat there, of course. But wisdom is a different thing. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. That means that you can know all things, but what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do the right thing or the wrong thing? And the Bible is full of an exhortation towards wisdom. Anna personifies wisdom in the early chapters of Proverbs as a woman. But I'm going to read this out. This is chapter 8. Does not wisdom cry out and understand? Lift up her voice. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honour are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was even an earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters could not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his strength, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favour from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. And the tragedy today is that many love death. You know, the enemy came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And there's so much of this going on. People, for selfish reasons, they want a certain way in their lives. And they know it's a destructive way. They know it's destroying family. They know it's destroying life. They know it's destroying relationships. And yet they go for it. Say, what? What is going on? Have people lost their minds? Well, it's not their minds they've lost. It's more their hearts they've lost. We spoke about the heart recently on God Talk. And the heart is the epicenter of our essence of who we are. And God promises to change our heart. So if we find that, hey, we're in the wrong camp here, that we kind of love our sin and we hate God, this is the time to seek the new heart, the one he offers and the one he truly gives. And then we find that all these words I spoke about wisdom out of Proverbs chapter 8, we read the whole chapter there, we can identify that God himself is wisdom, that he is the source of wisdom. And wisdom is spoke about it being there before the creation. So it's very much, who's knocking around before the creation? Well, I can only think of one, that's God himself. And so wisdom is very much coming out of the heart of God. And as I say, don't be fooled with the idea that knowledge is the answer. It's wisdom. And that's why there's so much corruption in universities in the Western world, in America and in Europe, that they've become breeding grounds for fostering an ideology which is very destructive. And the point is, we used to think, hey, isn't university a place where you go to learn things and not just to be indoctrinated? Well, it used to be, and hopefully it will soon become that again. But wisdom is where it's at. It's not knowledge. And so I just thought I'd share those few words on the topic of wisdom. Came straight out of Proverbs 8. So you're listening to God Talk. You know, we're here every week on 90.3 near FM at the hour of 5 o'clock. And we're also on our sister station up in Lucan, Liffey Sound. And that's on at 10:45, where I've joined Pat. So Pat Quinn, of course. How could I forget your second name, Pat? Hi to you. So anyway, how else do you contact us here on God Talk? The key way is through the text number 087-979-5454. You can send us an audio message through WhatsApp on that same number. And also we've got Twitter at Near FM God Talk. The web is godtalkradioblog.wordpress.com. Spotify, we put that beautiful song and others. You'll hear them on Songs from God Talk. So good idea to follow that on Spotify if you like the music. And the email is nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com. There was a small blip on that. It's now fixed. So you can send the email with your thoughts and comments, questions and prayers, and whatever else you want to toss on the email, send it over. And love to hear from you. So a big shout out to Julie, shout out to Brian, and to Ovo. Hope to have you on very soon on the program. And we and all our other listeners, you've been a blessing. It's been great having you. And so anyway, at that, I'm going to say thank you all very, very much for listening. God bless you all, and we'll be back here to do it again next week. God bless.
You've been listening to God Talk with Anthony Brabazon. Our 24/7 comment, prayer and text line is 087-979-5454. Until next week, may you seek him, may you find him, and may you love him.
This is Near FM
90.3.